Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Holy Gospel for this Sunday, in the fifth chapter of St. Luke, the 11th verse, "And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." In the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Luke tells us that the fishermen, Peter and Andrew and James and John, left everything and followed Jesus. Why did they do that? Why did they leave everything familiar to them? Their family, their home, their means of making a living. People don't do that sort of thing without powerful motivation. So what was it that moved them to do that? Well, Peter and Andrew and James and John, together with all their fellow Jews, lived in a country occupied, ruled, and oppressed by a foreign power, by Imperial Rome. And of course, nobody likes to be oppressed. And so when they heard Jesus proclaiming the nearness of God's kingdom, they mistakenly concluded that through Jesus, their hopes and longings would soon be fulfilled, namely the liberation of their homeland from foreign oppression, a restored, glorious kingdom of the Jews, with Jesus as king, and they wanted to be in on all that, cost what it might. Now, living as we do after Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, you and I, of course, know that the disciples had a completely wrong conception of what Jesus meant when he proclaimed the nearness of God's kingdom, a misconception that keeps surfacing over and over again as the disciples accompany Jesus in his ministry. But even though misunderstood, Jesus' message struck a responsive chord in their hearts, and so they followed him. But there is more to it than that. It wasn't just a matter of misunderstanding. Their leaving of everything to follow Jesus was far more than a merely human response rooted in mistaken hopes and longings. So what was it then? It was, in the deepest sense, a response to the light shining in Jesus. Not a light you could see with your eyes, but the light of God himself, which warms the heart and fills us with the desire to return love for love. The love of the Father's eternal Son and Word made flesh, the shining forth of God's splendor, the brightness of God's glory and himself God, perceived in Jesus, in his words and in his deeds. So in the Gospel read today, Peter and Andrew and James and John had been listening to Jesus preach,
from Peter's boat, even though they were no doubt very tired after a hard night's fishing. And then when he finishes speaking, Jesus commands them to go back out on the Sea of Galilee and let down their nets to catch fish. And Peter responds, no doubt wearily, "Master, we've been at it all night and haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when he does, so many fish were caught that he had to ask the others to help them bring in so many fish that the boats began to sink. And at this miracle, Simon Peter falls down at Jesus' feet and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord," sensing in Jesus the very presence of the Holy God. And Jesus replies, "Fear not, fear not. From now on, you will be catching men." The disciples heard the word of Jesus preaching from Peter's boat, and they'd seen the power of Jesus' word in the miraculous catch of fish. And Peter then finally falls down and worships Jesus, realizing he himself as a poor sinner. Yet he hears Jesus' word, "Fear not, fear not," addressed to him and to everyone who feels his unworthiness, sinfulness, waywardness, distance from the holy and righteous God. Fear not, that wonderful word, first spoken to Jesus' lowly mother when the angel Gabriel suddenly appeared with the news that Mary was to be the mother of God's Son. Fear not, the word spoken by the angel to the frightened shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem on the night of Jesus' birth. Fear not, the word spoken by the angels at the empty tomb on Easter morning. Fear not, for Jesus is risen as he said. Fear not, the word spoken to you in your baptism, wherein you were made a member of Christ, a child of God, and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Fear not, the word spoken this morning through the word of forgiveness pronounced by the pastor in the stead and by the command of Jesus. Fear not, the word spoken as you come to this altar and receive hidden beneath the outward forms of bread and wine the precious body and the holy blood of that all-sufficient sacrifice which blots out every stain of sin, that holy body which death could not hold, and the blood shed on the cross which even now pleads for us before the Father's throne in heaven, and on the altar of this church, as we plead that one sacrifice offered once for all to open the gates of heaven to all who place their trust in Jesus the Savior. The disciples followed Jesus in their particular way as apostles. An apostle is simply one who's sent by Jesus to bear witness to all he did, to his saving death and life-giving resurrection. But each one of us is unique. And so your following of Jesus and my following of Jesus will take shape in a way that's unique to each one of us. We can't really mimic the apostles, nor anyone else for that matter. For while there is a dreary sameness about sin, a new sin has yet to be invented, there are all kinds of ways to follow Jesus, as we see so clearly not only in the lives of those great heroes of the faith the Church acclaims as saints, but in the lives of every faithful Christian who's been privileged to know Jesus and follow him. The point is that your following of Jesus will take place in a way that's unique to you, and mine will take place in a way that's unique to me. And God's written word, the Holy Scriptures, and in them the words of Jesus especially, are, as the psalmist says, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, safely guiding me and you, until by God's pure mercy we at last come to see him face to face. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.